let's get started.
Wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioToYou.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioToYou.com. Shutters Inc. with Charlton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 60 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from AudioToYou.com. With me on the line once again from Melbourne, Shelton Muller. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Here we are at the big 6-0.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The diamond anniversary, as it were.
Diamond, is it? Okay. All right.
Isn't the 60th wedding anniversary a diamond anniversary?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't got that far. I'm on 21.
I got another 30. I'm a little way off it myself.
I got 39 years to go to find out. Couldn't tell you. But look, I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
But if I've still got the money to buy a diamond on our 60th anniversary, who knows? I'll have spent it on camera gear, probably.
Yeah.
I hope all our readers are well. It's been nice to get back and get some responses from last week.
I take it by that you mean listeners?
Sorry. Yes. Can I
that's fine.
Yeah, that's what you
they
get.
They know who they are.
They know who they are. I just don't know who they are. That's all. Are you reading this, everybody? All right. Sorry, it's what you get when you're a writer, and a photographer. I just gotta, can't think in terms of people listening to me. But there you go. We've had a couple of interesting emails. One from Rob Iverson. Hello, Rob.
Yep.
And you've got a couple of questions in your email, Rob, and I'll get to them. But one is with reference to last week's podcast, in which I talked about getting it right in camera. And I hold that to be true and still think that we should do that. What I think I'm forgetting, Bruce, is that I may be talking to a generation of photographers. Some of you will be in this arena of photographers, and some of you won't. But because I've been taking photographs for so long, I started when I was 15 years old, and I am used to only thinking in terms of shooting. Making sure that I get it right in camera, because for so long it was all I could do, really. I wasn't a big darkroom aficionado. I learnt the darkroom, and I've been in a darkroom and all that kind of thing, but it never really got to me. I didn't like the idea of being in a room and chemicals and all that. It just wasn't my thing. I loved the idea of dodging and burning and contrast and all that kind of thing, but for some reason I could just never get into the dark room. And I shot tranny most of the time.
Thank God for Photoshop.
Yeah, and this is exactly right. I've learned Photoshop and other applications like PaintShop Pro and those sorts of things, and it has given me a new way of seeing. But I still, I'm working on a wedding right now, and I'm going through the images and I'm saying to myself, well, if I had shot this using film, I'd be happy, because I've composed in camera, I have used the depth of field in camera that I wanted to apply. I didn't need to go later in and use lens blur or Gaussian blur to wipe out the background. I've metered correctly. I've done all those things that I would have done with film. Now, of course, the options that I have in Photoshop are options I would have had in a dark room plus more. And so, yes, when I'm out shooting, I'm thinking in terms of, oh, yes, I know what I'm going to do with this shot. But even if I didn't have that option, I would still be pleased with the images if I just had to take my card down to a photo retailer and get them printed. And that's what we should aim for. Now, there are some things that you can't do in camera, and we'll get to that in a minute. But just to clarify on that podcast, if that is where, if I'm speaking to a group of you who are so used to being in the digital age that you are thinking in terms of the process as being, well, if I don't get it right here, I can get it right later, I'd say your process is a mistaken one, and you should learn to shoot camera only. And try and do as much in that camera as possible. And indeed, that's what a lot of this podcast is about. You'll notice that we don't talk, you and I, Bruce, a lot about Photoshop techniques.
No.
I mean, there's a million and one websites about Photoshop techniques.
Yep.
Every magazine out that you buy in a news agency, or drugstore in America, wherever you get your magazines.
There's even a handful of podcasts on Photoshop.
There are, yeah. I mean, you get CDs and tutorials in magazines, and that's great. I love Photoshop. Absolutely adore it. But, you know, this podcast, essentially, you know, Shutter's Inc. is about getting it right in camera most of the time. Yeah. And that's what we talk about, photo techniques, shooting techniques. So that's really what I'd like to, in this podcast, encourage everyone to do. Now, Rob raises the question, you know, we talked about, you know, getting your levels right in Photoshop and those things that you do after. And he asks, what is the black point and what is the white point? Now, I think we've done a podcast on the histogram, but let's talk about this as in the context of what maybe you can't do in camera that we might do later. In the grander context of, you know, of getting it right in the camera in the first place. The black and white points are in your levels in Photoshop, which is, you know, Control L or Apple L, I think, in Mac. And you'll notice that you have basically in levels a graph. It's what we call a histogram, and at each end is an arrow. Now, if that graph should fall somewhere between those two arrows, it shouldn't be too much to the right or too much to the left in an average image. If you're taking a picture of a white bride and against a white backdrop, a blonde, fair-skinned, white-dressed bride against a white backdrop, you might find that it'll all be up to the, you know, most of your...
On the right-hand end.
It'll be most of your images, image information in your histogram will be up towards the right-hand side because there's very little there that you could actually say is black, you know, maybe your eyelashes or something. But in an average image, you know, you'll find that you'll have a graph and it'll be somewhere between, there's two arrows at the bottom of that graph, and your information
and one in the middle.
And one in the middle, yes, that's right. Setting your black point and your white point, Rob, is basically dragging and dropping those arrows that are on either end to the point in your graph where it begins. Either at the black end, you just moved a little to the right, and the white end, which is you move a little bit to the left, and you should, and that sets your black point and your white point. In other words, what used to be gray, you're now making black, and what used to be beyond white, you're now just making white. So you're setting a point whereby there's, you know, nice level, nice information. You're not wasting any information. You're bringing it within the black and white points.
Could I just throw something in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you haven't worked with a histogram before, the idea is that where that black ridge sort of creeps up and forms a graph, it's a visual representation of the strength of that intensity at that point. So at the dark end, it's how strong the darks are, and at the right-hand edge, it's how strong the light points are. And and so if you've got bits at the end, at either end of that graph where there is no amplitude, then that's a waste of information. So you bring the sides in so that you're sort of spreading your contrast across the entire possible tonal range.
Brilliantly put. Absolutely. And that's all right. Thank you for clarifying that. I always wondered what levels were. Now, you know. No, really well done, Bruce. Thanks, mate. I'm glad I have you on the other end to make me sound good. No, it's perfect. No, it's absolutely right. Absolutely right. And, you know, that's a great thing about Photoshop. And it's something that is very difficult to do, especially when you're on location in camera, because, you know, you only have so many controls over your exposure, your shutter speed and your aperture. You may have, you know, the option to add a reflector, be that a black reflector or a white reflector or whatever, but it's all very complex. You can do that in studio. I mean, they used to, in studios, they still do. They do have big white reflectors, big even black reflectors to establish in film basically a black and a white point, you know, for even a high key image or a low key image, depending on what you're doing. But in Photoshop, you can do that by setting your histograms, your black and white point. Now, that's very different to curves, Rob. Curves are more about contrast often than they are about setting a black and white, you know, point. And they're about really adjusting the contrast within the image, which levels can do, especially if you use the middle arrow. But, you know, curves, probably if you set an S curve, you know, in your curve setting, that's really what you're doing. But they are two completely different things. But I don't want to really get into Photoshop because that's not what we do here at Shutter's Inc. I just wanted to talk about the fact that there are some things you can't do in camera as effectively as you can later. But we shouldn't necessarily shoot, you know, with our viewpoint to say, look, I'm not really going to worry about that while I'm shooting. You know, I can fix it later in Photoshop. We often hear that bandied around, but I honestly believe that a lot of photographers, especially the latter generation or, you know, photographers, are thinking that way, as if the computer is part of the photo-taking tool. No, it isn't really. It's what we call post-processing. But get the image right in camera as best possible. And in line with this, Rob has also talked about shooting and, you know, and overexposing, you know, images. If you don't mind, Rob, I'll read some of your email. It says, I have one last question for you. When I shoot using the manual setting, I find myself repeatedly blowing out some shots because I seem to overexpose images when I'm outside with sunlight. Is there a best way or better way to meter outside if you're shooting in the manual mode? Well, it's probably not. It's not the metering so much, it's what you're setting your camera at. I mean, remember, the meter is a guide, and those who shoot in program and auto modes are relying on their meter. But, you know, another what we've talked about in levels, the histogram, is also a great way of determining your exposure in camera. Because if you've got a digital SLR, which you do, and you're shooting in RAW, which in your email you say you are, then you have the ideal way right there and then on the shoot to make sure that you don't overexpose your whites and lose that information by using the histogram in your camera. Set your screen up so that when you take a picture, the histogram automatically appears. And if your information, if your graph leans too far to the right, then you've overexposed the whites and you'll lose detail in your highlights. If it's too much to the left, then you've, you know, underexposed, and you've, in most images anyway, and you've wasted all this information too far to the left.
Quick question for you, Shelton.
Mm.
Does your Nikon allow you to see the histogram while you're composing the shot, or
no.
Are you talking about after you've taken the shot, then reviewing the image
and
histogram?
After you've taken the shot.
Yeah.
Now, in every case, you know, you won't be able to do that. A photojournalist certainly couldn't do that. But a portrait photographer, a wedding photographer, a landscape photographer can.
Yeah.
And in landscape photography particularly, you should be very careful about your black and white point. But use the histogram and keep as much information within those two points as possible. Because it's going to be the best way for you to get it right in camera, and it'll be where the information is. And the more you adjust, especially a JPEG, the more information you lose and the more you damage the image. This is why we need to get it right in camera. So Rob, if you're shooting in manual and you're overexposing certain images, then use your histogram and set the camera differently. You know, if you're overexposing, obviously your shutter speeds are too slow or your apertures are too wide, so close them down or speed up the aperture. And, you know, keep those points, you know, within your histogram. In fact, digital cameras also have, I know the Canons and the Nikons do, you can set it so that the camera actually flashes a big black, you know, blotch anywhere where you've blown out a highlight. And that is especially important. I use it on weddings a lot when you're dealing with a bride in a white dress. She has bought that dress because of the detail in the bodice and the detail in the gown. You don't want to blow that out because she wants to see it. You know, she spent a lot of money on that detail. So, again, you can use that aspect.
You mean
of
he
your,
did?
Your, yeah, well, yeah, yeah. Eventually, it all comes back to him in the end.
These Sorry are the to the females listening.
These are the prices we pay for marrying beautiful young women. You know, they're all everything costs you. Everything costs you. Yeah, there's no such thing as a free lunch, is there, mate?
No,
you
mate.
Know? But, you know, this is where these features in your camera are designed to help you get it right in the image. Let's go in shooting pretending that Photoshop never existed. If we can set that mentality up, that means that we will get our exposure right in camera. We'll set our exposure so that our histogram is as big as it can be and between the black and the white point. Nothing too much to the right, nothing too much to the left, as much as possible. We'll make sure that if we need to, we use a grad filter to balance out our exposure. Let's try and do that, because that's what photographers do. Now, of course, photographers have the option of doing more. But photographers, the best photographers you'll have ever seen, the legendary photographers, yes, they were great in the darkroom, but they shot with a view to getting it right in camera. And if you have that mentality, your images will improve no end. Because you're starting off with something that if you're shooting in film, you'd have been very happy with. And what you do thereafter can only be an enhancement, not necessarily a fix. They're two completely different things. So that's really what I was talking about last week in our podcast. And that's the point that I would like to make to everybody listening, because it will make such a difference to your photography. Those who've been shooting for decades will know exactly what I'm saying, and will probably be actually going hear as they drive to work listening to this podcast. So, you know, I just I hope that that's been a clarification of what we were talking about last week, and I'd love to get all of your thoughts on what we're talking about and any questions you have, because I've only realized as a result of last week that maybe I'm talking to, you know, a generation of new photographers, people who are thinking differently to the way, you know, old farts like me think.
To everything that you've said so far, there is probably two things that I would add, mm-hmm. and that would be perhaps use spot metering,
mm-hmm.
and the other thing would be, when it comes to digital photography, err on the side of underexposing, because you can generally retrieve the image, particularly if you're shooting raw, which Rob said he is.
Yes.
You can usually retrieve detail from the dark areas, but you cannot retrieve it from a blown highlight.
No, absolutely true. And a really good point, everybody. What Bruce is making there is an absolutely brilliant point, especially if you're shooting raw. Yeah, keep it away from that right edge, you know, or over going over the edge of that right side of your histogram if you possibly can. Absolutely.
Yeah. Excellent, Shelton. Well, thank you for all that.
That's a pleasure, as always. And again, I appeal to everyone on this point. Let me know your thoughts. I'd really love to know what you come up with.
Absolutely. All right, matey, we will talk with you again next week.
Look forward to it.
Excellent. See you then.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotou.com. Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
Audiotou.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
Control D to bookmark.
Audiotou.com.